sermon, making a point. And when we get to the end, we'll show you that just because something's in the Bible doesn't necessarily we have to do it that way. Now, obviously, salvation you do. But there are some things in the Bible God put in there to tell us not to do it that way. And so we're going to see that this may be one of those stories, okay? Very familiar one as far as stories of the Bible. But the title of my sermon is I've Opened My Mouth. I've Opened My Mouth. And growing up with friends, there were always some people that's what they were going to do. They were going to just open their mouth. In other words, they put this in gear before they put this in gear. And maybe we tend to be that way. And of course, the older and more mature we get, that ought to get a little bit lessened. Amen? So put this in gear before you put this in gear. And this is what happened to this guy. He was being genuine, and he wanted what was right. And we know we're going to look at Peter a little bit. Peter had a problem with that. He would put this in gear before he would put this in gear. And things like that. So nothing wrong with what the person did, and it was obviously something that we would like, it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't that God dictated this, and so he put this in the story that we might, in other words, think before we speak. I have opened my mouth, and I know the ladies get dogged with this about, the ladies always beep, 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 but, in our day and time, the men can beep, 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 beep just as much. Some men can get just as involved in gossip and slander and discord sowing, just like ladies can. Everybody has a tendency to do that. So in other words, I have opened my mouth. In other words, put this in gear before this. A lot of times we want to help. And, even spiritually speaking, if somebody's going through a situation and we don't necessarily need to know all the details. And Brother Raji will word it like this sometimes during prayer in Sunday school. Lord, you know, especially like an unspoken. They didn't want the details out there. But Lord, you know the details. We want you to have your will in that. We want you to give wisdom in that, give guidance in that, give healing in that, things like that. So we don't have to open our mouth all the time and things like that. And so, and some people will say, well, I want to know all the details just so I can know how to pray. I just gave you an example how to pray. God knows, He knows the situation. We don't have to open our mouth. And so this guy, he did the same thing. He opened his mouth. And we've had, cliches throughout the years with sayings like this, put up or shut up. I know that I said that as a kid. Some people say, well, I'm going to whip you. Put up or shut up. Quit running off at the mouth. Just throw the first punch. My dad told me not to start them, but not to run from them. Things like this. Put up or shut up. Because some people are just running off the mouth. I heard this one time. Your mouth is about to write a check your body can't cash. All right? That's just a little bit more intelligent or a little bit older, the put up or shut up. Your mouth's about to write a check that your body can't cash. I'm going to whip you, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. We'll see. And so forth. Then here's another one we've all heard. Put your money where your mouth is. And I think this is where betting came from. I bet you, or I think. Again, we've opened our mouth. And so, we might have been told this, hush, even more harsh, shut up, things like that. But stop running off at the mouth. I heard my wife tell a story one time that her and her dad was in the car. And I believe they were leaving school. And they pulled in the driveway at home, which was 20, 30-minute drive. And my wife said, wow, I talked all the way home. And so he might remember that. But she's a good talker. She can talk. But I think she puts this in gear before this in gear most of the time. Sometimes I get a little bit of the opposite. But anyway, Judges chapter 11, that's enough introduction. You get the point. We ought not open our mouth without putting in our brain in gear first. And so in Judges chapter 11, verse 30 and verse 35 through 35, it says there, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said. So again, he said it to God. He opened his mouth. Maybe he should have reworded, and we're going to see at the end that God allows that and shows us how that we ought to word it. And so, but Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto mine hand. So they were in a battle. He was the leader at this point, and he was giving orders and telling what people what to do as far as the fight was going. And of course, he was wanting God's help, and that's a good thing. And God, that's where he should have stopped. God, just help us. Help us win this. But we try to sweeten the pot sometimes. And, again, you if God's going to do something, he's going to do what he said would do in the Bible. And we can't get God to do something he shouldn't, no matter how we sweeten the pot. But it says here in verse 31, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it a burnt offering. And so, again, he's playing let's make a deal with God. God, if you'll help us win this, I will offer unto you. Think first. God doesn't want destruction for you. God doesn't want harm to you. So you don't have to play let's make a deal. You can just say, God, have your will. And he will. He can help us. And so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. So they won the battle. In verse 33, and he smote from that place until he came to that place. And there was 20 cities upon the plain of the vineyards, and they were very great slaughter of this children of Ammon. And he subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto the house where, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dance. She'd heard that they'd won, and she was excited about seeing her dad. And she was their only child. Beside her, there was neither a son nor a daughter. And so he had opened his mouth. And verse 35 says, and it came to pass when he saw his daughter, he rent his clothes and said, as last, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. So we see here that he said something, and he didn't think it all the way through. Whether he did or whether he didn't, that's not the case here. That's not the point. He did say something. And so we need to think before we speak. We need to pray before we make a vow. It's something, and of course we're going to look at some other verses here that, again, our word should be our bond. We ought to tell the truth. What we say we'll do, we ought to do it. In our day and time, it's just, a lot of people, they could care less about this story. They could care less about this principle. They're going to say what they're going to say. They have no intention of keeping their word. They're just... but a Christian, obviously, we ought to have an intention of keeping our word. Numbers 30, verse 2 says this, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, and he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And so again, as a Christian, the principle here is if we tell God we'll do something, we ought to do something. And again, all of us have told God, I'm going to read my Bible every day this week or this year. Or I'm going to pass out this many tracts, or I'm going to try to be this kind of testimony to this person. I'm going to. And again, nothing wrong with that. God wants us to be a light. God wants us to be a witness. God wants us to study and read His Word, things like that. But don't go to the point, let's make a deal. Like, God, I'm going to read my Bible every day this year, and if I don't, just strike me dead. you might be just sick as a dog, and you can't even see straight. One day. And again, you can put on your phone and let it read it to you, things like that. You can still keep your word, but let's not over-exaggerate. Let's not, go beyond. In Daniel 1:8 it says this, and Daniel purposed in his heart. So in other words, he didn't say it out loud. It was something that he said with God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. And so again, sometimes when we make those things, it ought to be between us and God, and it ought not be out loud, and things like that. Acts 5:3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hast Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of thy price? So we see that God does expect us to do what we say we do. Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story, they sold a piece of property, and they said, we're going to give it all to the Lord. Again, God didn't put it in there saying that we all have to sell our houses and give it all to God. He just put it in there that if we say that we're going to do something to God, we ought to do it. Again, I'm all for, just like Brother Roger just mentioned about giving our missionaries a Christmas present. I'm all for that. And again, you know, you do what God says to you. I'm not going to be up here and say, as a pastor, you need to, you know, cash out your CDs and give it to missions, or, you know, turn your retirement in and, you know, build this and build that. I'm not going to say that. If God tells you to do that, that's between y'all. But I'm not saying you're not right with God if you don't. So again, that story's not in there that Ananias and Sapphira sold all their belongings and their property and told God they were going to give it all, and that's what we all have to do. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if the Holy Spirit led them and they said that they were going to do it, they ought to have done it. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5 says this: when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. So don't say it unless you're going to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better that thou shouldest not vow a vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it. And so a lot of people are like, ah, there's the loophole. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just not going to vow a vow. And obviously, you wouldn't have to sacrifice your daughter. You wouldn't have to die if you lied to the Holy Ghost. So I know what I'll do. All those verses are in the Bible. I'm just not going to vow a vow. And the devil's fine with that. He doesn't want you to promise God things. He doesn't want you to grow in your Christian life. He doesn't want you to be used of God in a great, mighty way. Because there's a lot of people in the Bible that did say, God, I will do this or I won't do that. And God helped them and they were blessed because of it. So again, we're not trying to scare anybody. Don't you vow a vow. It's better not to vow it than to vow it and break it, because if you do, you could die, or you could have to do this, or you have to do that. That's not the point. The point is, think before you speak. Pray before you vow. And again, in my introduction, I don't want to get there yet. My conclusion, I don't want to get there yet. But there is a way to think it or word it that will help us. So a vow is basically a solemn promise by a person that is bound by the act and service and condition. So again, there's some things that we're bound by. We're bound by our signature. And in our day and time, you had to go write. You had to drive all the way across town, go and sit in front of a lawyer and a witness, and you had to write. Now you can, DocuSign. You can just do it right there on your phone, send it, whoop. But as long as they got that, you're bound by a court of law. If you say, I'll pay for that car, and you don't pay for that car, they're going to repossess it. Why? You said you would pay for it, and you didn't, so we're going to take it back. If you don't pay for that house, I'll pay my payment. They're going to take it from you. Why? Because our signature, we're bound there. Of course, if we make a vow to our husband or our wife, we ought to vow that, not break it. Those are vows and things like that that we're bound by. Then it says vow. It says here a promise. A vow in a verb tense here is a promise, or it would bind or consecrate or declare. That is easy. I just won't make a vow and I won't be bound by any of that thing. That's not what the principle is here. So it's exactly what Satan wants. He's been trying to pull that fast one on people from the beginning. He said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said?" He didn't want her to keep her vow to God and what God wanted her to do. It's your life. Do what you want to. This is Satan's philosophy. Don't you make vows and say, I surrender to God to do His will. No. Don't do that. It's your life. Do with it what you want to. Even it came out a couple years ago, YOLO, you only live once, things like that. That's what the devil's propagating and pushing. He doesn't want us to make a vow to God and say, God, I will always, or I will forever, or I will. He doesn't want us to do that. He didn't want us to bind it. And then we look at these stories and we think, well, I don't know that I want to. But God in the Bible says pray and decide, and then make the vow what I will do and what I will not do. And that's what God wants us to do. We talked about this morning, the Bible, prayer, all these things have been taken out of the public school system. And we see what a mess it's there. Evolution and Big Bang Theory is... they just open their mouth. And again, more than that now, we have transgender and homosexuality being crammed down the throats and being taught everywhere and things like that. And because people won't make vows. And then even our churches today are accepting worldly things in the church. But God vowed that this is how He wanted it done, and we should stick with it. So we see here, as far as things that are being, I guess, accepted today, I'll give you one example. My opinion is when a husband and wife get married, God ought to be a part of it. They say a triangle is what makes a great union, things like that. He ought to be in the center of the young man's life, and he ought to be the center of the young lady's life, and they just come together, and God makes a perfect trio, things like that. A lot of things today, God's nowhere around it, and so forth. But we ought to put God right there in the middle and make that vow with Him there. God, help us. It's funny, again, just my opinion here. Don't have verses to go with this. There's a lot of people they pick, and there's nothing wrong with having music in your wedding and things like that, and I think it makes it nice. But back when my wife and I got married, we picked Christian songs. it was just, in our opinion, it was just like a church service. We didn't want country pop songs or love songs or things like that. And why? Because in my opinion, again, I'm just giving you my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. That's pushing God out and putting the worldly philosophy there. In our day and time, I was at a church wedding, if you want to call it that. And right there in the church, they announced the daddy-daughter dance. And I was like, in the church? Come on. They said, okay, that's fine. We'll just take it out of church. Well, again, we see here that these vows need to be with God right in the center of it. And again, just my opinion. But anyway, we see here there's three things we're going to look at tonight. There are some vows that we ought to vow not to do. There are some vows that we ought to vow to do. And we're going to see at the end that God always keeps His vow. So number one, there are some things that we should vow not to do. Again, those of you that are in here younger, listen to me for a second. There are some vows that you ought to make when you're younger. Some of us have passed this time. We can't make this vow anymore. But there are some vows that we ought to make when we're younger. Then there are some that we ought to keep throughout our old age. All right? So the first one we see here is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They made vows. It may not have been like Jephthah, out loud and boisterous, and this is what I'm going to do, but it was between them and God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I've heard it said this way, Daniel made the decision before the decision had to be made, so when the decision had to be made, there was no decision to be made. All right, y'all get that? Don't ask me to say it again, okay? He'd purposed in his heart and said, okay, I'm vowing a vow that if I'm ever faced with a decision that I have to make, it's already made. I vowed I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. And so again, for just lack of a better illustration here, if the Bible says that this body is a temple, and he already said, I'm not going to defile this temple. And so when he was offered a portion of the king's wine, I'm not going to drink that. He decided years ago that he wasn't going to drink that. So there wasn't a decision, should I do it to fit in? Should I do it to see what it makes me feel like? I heard it makes you feel like, woo-hoo. No, there was no decision to be made. He already made the decision, vowed inside of his heart, I'm not defiling myself. So when it came, it was easy. Nope. And so again, so young people, make those vows, whether it be out loud or in your heart with God, stuff like this. I will not marry nor date. Again, you remember how the Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death? But it talked about how we're drawn away of our own lusts, we're tempted, we're enticed, all those steps. I believe it's in James. And so again, if I'm not going to be tempted, I'm not going to be enticed, I'm not going to be drawn away of my own lusts, I am several steps away from the cliff falling to death. I'm not going to walk over here like this. I'm going to say, all right, I'm not going to be drawn away my own lust. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to be enticed. Not even think about doing wrong. And that's what James was saying. Stay as far away from it as possible. So a young person should have said, I will not marry, nor date, or even flirt with an unsaved person. So what did I just do there? If I don't flirt with, there's no way that I'll ever date, and then there's no way that I'll ever marry. So I'm going to stay as far away. So do like Daniel and say, I'm going to decide right now as a young person, I'm not going to end up marrying an unsaved person. So therefore, I'm not going to date. I'm not going to flirt with. I'm not even going to let my mind go there. That's what Daniel did. Again, I remember Bible college decision. I'm going to Bible college. The night before I left, here comes pulling up one of the what we call the old flings. I mean, in my driveway, I'm packing my truck to go to Bible college. And she pulls up and says, "Hey, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine." And she's like, "Well, I was talking to my parents the other day, and they said that you were the best boyfriend I ever had, and da 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 da. I just came to see if you thought we might could get back together." I'm like, "Mm-mm." "No, don't think so. I'm going to Bible college." Why? Because I'd already decided. So, boom. And then my first job as a college freshman was at a kind of like a Foot Locker. And I go in there, and this young lady flirted with me and flirted with me and flirted with me to the point that I quit. Why? Because I don't want to. Was she pretty? Yes. Right? But that's not the issue. So again, you make a vow and say, "I'm not going to marry an unsaved person. So I'm not going to date an unsaved person. I'm not even going to flirt with an unsaved person. I'm not even going to give it a thought." That's how we make that vow in our heart so the devil can't mess us up. We go on down for a young person. Again, us old people, we already passed this stage. I will not, let's say, hold hands, hug, kiss of someone with the opposite sex until I get married. That's a good vow to make. Why? Again, then you can't have a child out of wedlock. If you didn't hold hands and hug and kiss, obviously you can't have a child. So make those vows. There are some vows that God wants us to make, whether it be out loud, whether it be in our heart. And I'm just trying to help you. I promise you, you stand right here one day and you've kept yourself for your mate, you will be happy. They will be happy. God will be happy. So make a vow. "I'm not going to kiss, hold hands, hug a member of the opposite sex until I get one of these." That makes it okay. Here's another one. "I will not date anyone that my parents don't approve." I'm just trying to help you. I told my boys, if mama don't like her, run. Women have that women vibe. They can tell. You know, I'm like, "Yeah, she's pretty. That's good. Go for it. Woohoo." Mom's like, "Mm-mm." Like, why? I just know. So, again, just make that vow. "I'm not going to date, get married, hug, kiss, all that kind of stuff, somebody that my parents don't approve of." That's why they gave you parents. Here's the one that we can just keep throughout our whole life. "I will not drink alcohol or take drugs." These are vows that God wants us to make. Why? Because our body is the temple. And we're not supposed to defile it. If I go ahead and make that vow now, if I'm ever tempted or ever offered, I can already have made the decision before the decision needed to be made. Nope. Here's one. "I will not gossip nor sow discord." But you don't understand how juicy this info is. But if you've made a vow, the Bible says that this is an abomination to sow discord. So I'm not going to gossip or I'm not going to sow discord. I'm making that vow. I will not set any wicked thing before my eyes. I think that's a Bible verse. So there are vows that God wants us to make, whether they be out loud or whether they just be between us and God in our heart. But I will not set a wicked thing before mine eye. I will not live in a way that will cause a Christian brother to stumble. This is a vow that God wants us to make. Because He doesn't want us to be a stumbling block. So I've got to make that vow. I'm just not going to make any vows. That way I won't get in trouble with God. I'll just go through life. No, that's what Satan wants you to do. God wants you to say, "I'm not going to live in a way that would cause a Christian brother to stumble." Here's another one. "I will not ignore or disobey the Holy Spirit." This is a vow that we ought to make. I will not ignore or disobey the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. He doesn't need, an invitation. He can speak to you. It's called conviction. He can speak to you. It's called the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He can speak to you. It's called the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So He can do that. And so a vow that we ought to make is, when the Holy Spirit convicts me, or the Holy Spirit draws me, or the Holy Spirit leads me, I will not disobey the Holy Spirit. For instance, you're driving down the road, or you're sitting on an airplane or whatever, and the Holy Spirit says, "Witness to that person." Make that vow. I will not disobey the Holy Spirit or ignore. Here's another one. "I will not break my parents' heart or God's heart." If you read the book of Proverbs, there's a whole lot of verses in there. And this doesn't matter how old you are either. A vow with God's help, I will not. Here's another one. "I will not lie, cheat, or steal to get ahead in life." I will not lie, cheat, or steal. And that's a philosophy that's floating around out there. Whatever you have to do to get a leg up, whatever you have to do, lie, cheat, or steal to get ahead, I will not do that. So, again, these are just some examples of things that I will not do and vows that I should make. Number two, there are some things that I should vow to do. There are some things that I should vow to do. And again, we're going to see in the conclusion how to word these things. Number one, I will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Most all of these are verses, commands. I will hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is a vow that I should make. God, I'm going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because the Bible says if we seek it like hidden treasure, we're going to find it. If you're hungering and thirsting, again, right now I'm not hungry or thirsty. Don't know that I will be for a couple of days because of all the leftovers that I've eaten, things like that. I'm definitely not starving. Anyway, my dad always told me, you're not starving, you might be hungry, but you're not starving. You could stand to miss a meal or two. But anyway, we see here, we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Second one, I will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Again, a verse, a command. This is a vow that we ought to vow. I will seek first the kingdom, not my bank account's kingdom, not what I want's kingdom, not what my friends want's kingdom, but I will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here's a third one. Here's another vow we should make. I will present my body a living sacrifice. It goes on to say, holy and acceptable unto Him. Now, this is our reasonable service. So this is not a vow that we ought to make that's unreasonable. I believe Jephthah's was a little bit unreasonable. He hadn't thought it through. It came back to bite him and so forth. So we see here that presenting our body a living sacrifice is not unreasonable. It is a vow that we ought to make. Next, I will surrender to and find and do the will of God. I will surrender to and find and do the will of God. And this is a vow that He wants a Christian to vow to do. And we'll see, again, in the conclusion, how we ought to word it. E, another verse. I will acknowledge Him in all my ways. I will let Him direct all my paths. This is a vow to do. I will let Him. I'm going to acknowledge Him in every way. Not just in the ways that I'm scared of. Not just in the ways that I don't understand. But in all my ways. Even ways that I think I've got it figured out. I want to still acknowledge Him. I want Him to direct me. That's a vow that I ought to make. Another vow that we ought to make. I will not change. I will not change. Now again, the Bible talks about, I read it this morning, that when we become a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So those are changes that we make. But once we've got to the point in our Christian life that I believe this book, I live this way, I do this with my money, I do this, I do this. We've basically made decisions based on the Word of God. Then that's when I vow not to change. I'm not going to change Bibles. I'm not going to change churches. I'm not going to change the way the Bible tells me to do things. I'm not going to change. And of course, that's being Christ-like. The Bible says that I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't even meddle with those given to change. So that's a vow that we ought to make, that I'm not going to change. Here's another one. I will be aware of and stay away from those that might influence me to change. It's a vow that we ought to make. I will stay away from, be aware of those people that might influence me to change. I believe the Bible says, mark and avoid. And then it goes on to say, have no fellowship with. So again, this does not mean that we ought to be a recluse and be by ourselves, live alone and not be around people. No, that's not what it's talking about. We're actually in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be a light unto the world. But we've got to be aware of those that might influence us to change. So the Bible talks about if they walk disorderly. In other words, they're going against this Bible. It doesn't say don't witness to them. It doesn't say don't pray for them. It doesn't say don't be a light unto them. But it says to mark them and avoid. Stay away as much as you can. If you do be around them, you control the narrative. You invite them to church. You control the conversation. Then it says here, and then have no fellowship with. Hey, let's go to the bar. Can't. I love you, praying for you. Hope God saves you one day, but I can't do that. You make that vow to not be influenced. Here's another one. I will be loyal to the house of God and to the Word of God. I will be loyal to the house of God and the Word of God. This is a vow that we ought to make. Again, sometimes when we make those vows, it keeps us where we're supposed to be. So I will be loyal to the house of God and the word of God. Last one. I will stand before God one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Make that vow. The Bible says that one day we will stand there and we're going to give an account for what we do. So make the vow. I will stand before God and I will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, that brings me to the third thing. And we're going to see that God always keeps His vow. So don't be flippant with vows. Don't run off at the mouth like Peter. Peter said, hey, though they slay me, I won't deny you. What did he do? 3 times he denied him. And he even got to the point where he was cussing at the end. So he did. He denied him. So we see it makes us sound like we don't need God anymore. We think we got it all under control and we can handle it ourselves when we're flippant. That's what Peter did. Even they kill me, I'm not going to deny you. And again, we see in my conclusion, we're going to see what he even should have said. And I'll let you in on a little bit of secret. Genesis 28:20. Genesis 28:20. You can write it down if you'd like. This is the guy that said it right. Jephthah didn't think it through and probably had to sacrifice his daughter. Okay? That wasn't God's will. That's not what God intended. But Peter ran off at the mouth. That's not how God intended it. Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't tell anybody else. You don't have to tell anybody else your vows. This is between you and God. Here's one. Jacob in Genesis 28:20 says, and Jacob vowed a vow. Here's how you word it. Saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go. In other words, let God be involved. That's the only way we're going to keep it anyway. Peter was probably a better Christian than I am. And he didn't keep his vow. He didn't keep what he said. He went and denied Christ 3 times. But Jacob, we see here, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, then I'll be able to keep my vow. So in other words, when we say, God, I promise you, I'm going to read that Bible every day. Say it this way. God, I have the best intentions. Now, I'm not trying to give you a way out. I'm not trying to give you an escape here. I have the best intentions to read this book every day of my life. But I need your help. Remind me. Strengthen me. If I'm tempted not, show me that way of escape of temptation. Get God involved in the vow. Okay? God, I told my wife, I love you, I'm marrying you, I've made a vow to you, I'm going to keep it. But there's temptation out there. There's things that come across my path. God, please help me. Help me to keep my vow. Help me to keep my promise. Help me. Again, I don't want to just run off at the mouth and be flippant. So we see that there were several people that didn't think it through. But Daniel purposed in his heart. It was between him and God. Jacob worded it correctly. I think the Bible, I'm paraphrasing here, the Bible goes on to say, we ought not say, I'm going to do this or that. We ought to say, if God will, I will do this or that. So if we even put that principle in here, we know it's God's will for us to keep our word. We know it's God's will that we're not influenced by the world to change. We know it's God's will not to sow discord. We know it's God's will not to lie. So if we say, I'm not going to lie, I would say, well, if God helps me, I'm not going to lie. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to help you. Now you got to do your part. Ananias and Sapphira, again, they could have done their part. They could have kept their word and God would have blessed them. So we see that all these things, there are some vows that we ought to do to make and say, I'm not going to do if God will help me. There are some vows that we say, I am going to do if God will help me. So say it like Jacob, not like Peter. Say it like Jacob, not like Jephthah. Say it like Jacob here. If God will be with me, if He'll help me, and He will. He will do His part. Why? Because God keeps His vows. That's number three. Number one was I should vow to not do some things. Number two was I should vow to do some things. And number three is this, God always keeps His vows. The Bible says that God cannot, it's not possible, God cannot lie. There's a couple times that I've worked at a fair before, and we had a cabinet there, and it said right above the cabinet, three things that God cannot do. And it would get people's attention. I thought God could do anything. Well, there's three that He can't. And they were supposed to open those doors and look at there. And the first one they opened was this one. God cannot lie. And it's in the Bible. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the second one was, God cannot change. I am the Lord, I change not. He can't change. And then the third was that God could not let anyone into heaven unless they've been born again. And so there was three things that God could not do. But God always keeps His vows. Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be, hope so, think so, if they keep all the commandments, no, they shall be saved. God says, anybody that calls on me, I will save them. I will keep them saved. That's a vow that God makes, and He will not break that one. Ephesians 1:13 and also chapter 4, verse 30 says that He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. So not only will God save us, He will seal us, and He will keep that vow. God says, hey, when the Holy Spirit goes in you, I'm going to put a seal on it. My stamp of approval, tightened where nobody can open it. God's going to keep His promise. God keeps His vow. I vow to save you if you'll ask me to. I vow to keep you saved if you'll ask me to. Third thing, John 10:28-29 says that He gives us eternal life and we shall never perish. And no man can pluck Him out of Jesus' hand or God's hand. So God makes that promise. He makes a vow. Hey, if you'll get saved, if you'll ask me to save you, I'll save you. If you'll ask me to seal you, I will seal you. If you will ask me to protect you and keep you in my hand, I will do that. Hebrews 13:5 says this, He will never leave us nor forsake us. God's not going to say, hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and then say, oh, you slipped my mind. Or that caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared. No, He promises us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So even in a situation that we would not have chosen, a tough situation, whether it be physically, financially, whether it be family, God is right there with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's faithful. The Bible says He's faithful that began a good work in you that will finish it. So He made a vow to you. Hey, I'll start a good work in you and I'll be right here until it's finished, until you come home with me. God always keeps His promises. Psalm 22:25 says this, My praise shall be to Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. So God says, I'll pay my vows. I will do what I said. So God keeps His word. He cannot lie. He cannot change His mind. Here's another one. He's no respecter of persons. So He's not going to keep His vows to me any more than He will to you. He's not going to keep His vows to the person in the pew in front of you than He will to your pew. He's no respecter of persons. The Bible talks about how that God wants us to be that way. And again, there's talks of weddings. There's talks of people coming in. Again, I'll paraphrase here. Let's say somebody came in that back door that was a little tattered, a little dirty, smelled a little bit. And then somebody came in with a $500 suit on and smelled like he wore or she wore $500 perfume or cologne. We're supposed to treat them the same. Supposed to treat them the same. Hey, come on in. Come sit by me. We would love to have you be a member of our church. But again, a lot of times it gets the opposite. Hey, you can go back here and sit. We'll set you up a chair in the foyer. Hey, you come down here and sit. You know, you got a big wallet. I think I would love to have you be over here so you could tithe a lot. So let's treat them like, mm-mm. God vowed a vow and said, hey, I'm no respecter of persons. If the rich person, and the Bible talks about it, it's harder for that person to go to heaven than a camel going through the eye of a needle. But God's going to treat them both the same. Even in, you know, outreach, seems like you go to an area where they're a little bit lower income, they're a little bit more receptive to the gospel. And then you go to a place where they're all richy and don't need anything and they got everything and more than they should have probably. They don't need God. We're still supposed to treat them the same. So God keeps His vows. I will pay my vow. I'm no respecter of persons. This says here, God does not mind you reminding Him of what He said. God does not remind you reminding him of what he said. Kind of like you. You may have told your grandkids this week that you know, we can have ice cream when we get home. And let's say you got home at, you know, 9 or 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the morning, and they're asleep, and you go to put them down. You said we could have some ice cream when we go. Now, it was probably that they didn't want to go to bed, not that they really wanted ice cream, but they will remind you of what you said. Oh, okay. Some of us might try. We'll try. We'll have some tomorrow. You know, we put them down and we hear, and you go in there, what? You said we could have some ice cream. God doesn't mind you reminding him of what he said. Why? He'll say, you're right. Here you go. And so God always keeps his promises. So we see here tonight, there's some vows that we should make to do. And there's some vows that we should make not to do. But always remember, God keeps his vows. He keeps his promises. And he don't mind you reminding him of it. God, you said you were no respecter of persons. You know, again, the Bible talks about this, that if we're envious, you know, you're no respecter of persons, and you did this for them, why don't you do it for me? That's probably not the way to go about it. The Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice. I'm happy for them. I'm not envious of them. I'm glad that you're blessing them, but hey, would you mind blessing me too? He doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind that. He will keep his vows. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand. We'll have a short invitation. Don't run from making those vows. Just make them and word them correctly, like Jacob. Lord, if you'll help me, I will do this. There's a vow you need to make to the Lord. The altar is open. Have a short invitation.